Elliot Spitzer, of course, isn't the first man to be bitten by the very snake he tried to bite. In fact, this is a theme that shows up in a lot of great literature. And to help us understand what we might learn about human nature from that literature, we're turning to Catherine Gallagher, a professor of English at the University of California at Berkeley, and she joins us now from the university. Thanks for being with us, Professor.
You're welcome.
So, as Attorney General, Elliot Spitzer broke up and prosecuted prostitution rings. As governor, he signed a bill into law to crack down on customers of prostitutes. And we know now that it was his anti-corruption crusade on Wall Street that led to some of the very banking procedures that caught him, all of which brings to mind the phrase, hoist with his own petard. That comes straight from Shakespeare, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It actually comes from Hamlet.
Professor, remind us just very quickly, what is a petard?
A petard is actually a bomb. So to be hoist with your own petard is actually to be blown up into the air with your bomb.
And tell us the story, remind us of, this is about Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, right?
Well, it is, as a matter of fact. But I think that hoist with his own petard has come loose, actually, from its immediate context and has become the phrase that best sums up what's often called poetic justice.
Mm-hmm.
And that is some neat symmetry between what one is guilty of and what the instrument of the punishment will be. And so it's one of the things that you do find often in great literature, partly because great literature is interested in the psychology behind it, but also just because it likes that sort of formal symmetry.
Hmm. Another Shakespearean example is Measure for Measure, where townspeople are getting prosecuted for having sex, correct?
That's right, yes, for fornication. Not just prosecuted, but actually condemned to death. Angelo, who has been left in charge of the city by the Duke, who's gone away, is actually prosecuting to the full limit of the law some people who have had sex out of marriage. But then he himself tries to blackmail the sister of one of those condemned men into having sex with him, and again is blown up by his own device.
Mm. And the Spitzer case and what you're referring to calls to mind a related idea, and it's this one. It's the idea that people who are zealously committed to stamping out a certain kind of crime or sin seem to have a fatal attraction to that very sin. Does that idea show up in literature?
Well, it shows up all the time in literature, and it shows up whenever there are sort of Puritan forces in the society that are trying to reform things, change things. It's often supposed that such people must have some kind of personal interest in this themselves. That is, that they're either trying to prosecute something because they want to root it out of themselves, or they're trying to prosecute something because, in fact, it will help them personally.
Mm.
So very often the Puritan is seen as the primary kind of hypocrite.
It seems, too, the great American story, The Scarlet Letter, comes to mind. Can you talk about that?
Well, The Scarlet Letter, of course, is in some ways not the comic side of this, but is the tragic side. It's the story of the man, usually, who is paired with the sinner that he's supposed to be the opposite of. Mm. But it turns out that he's paired in a secret sexual way, as well as just a pair in the sense that he's an opposite. So in The Scarlet Letter, you get the sainted minister, Dimmesdale, who has actually sinned with the woman Hester Prynne, who is then condemned to wear the scarlet letter. It's the American belief that, in fact, people very often use scapegoats for the sins that they themselves have committed.
Mm. Finally, the Spitzer saga is also a story about hubris, another great theme of literature.
Well, it is a story about hubris, and hypocrisy often seems to want to involve this.
Right, they're closely related, aren't they?
They're closely related. Of course, some of the great figures of hubris, like Oedipus himself, are not hypocrites. They're just people who are ignorant of the fate that awaits them, or sometimes even ignorant of their own past. Oedipus is a good example of hubris because he insists on digging to the bottom of the mystery of who killed his own father, and it turns out that he himself did, although he didn't know it was his father at the time that he killed him. So there's a certain way in which you very zealously prosecute something, and it turns out that that very zealousness comes back and traps you.
Well, Catherine Gallagher, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That's Catherine Gallagher, professor of English at the University of California at Berkeley.